Hi, everyone.
I'm just a freak, yeah.
Oh, my God. So good.
It won't stop. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara.
And this is the show where we pick a topic, we haul it, we go all the way in. And I feel like the last handful of episodes have been like strong, research-focused, educational, intriguing. Today, we thought, let's go on to the other side of things. Less research, more what's on our hearts and minds in this current moment.
And that would be blatant consumerism and product recommendations.
Okay, so I cannot get Jocelyn's song from the idol out of my head.
Jocelyn's comeback single, Freak Bitch.
It's stuck. It won't leave. We're in a committed relationship. That song in my brain.
You're loving it.
Okay. I think we need to do just like a weekly check-in on the idol as like a summer romp.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Here's where I'm at with after episode 2. Spoilers included. I thought that the whole scene where they're filming the music video was fantastic. I thought that that was so good. I even checked in with myself during that and was like, wait, I'm loving this. This is good television.
Mm-hmm.
When they went back over to the house, not for me. It's like spooky.
When it went back and then Tedros and his crew came to the house.
It was giving Manson Murders.
I need to know like what the end game is with Tedros and his crew, because now we know that Jenny Kim is like part of the infiltration crew and has been maybe seeded from like the beginning or like a long con.
Probably because she did bring Jocelyn to the club that night.
She did. And she's been a backup dancer for a while.
Yeah.
I need a lot more info.
They're clearly all moving into the house,
mm-hmm.
and because they all live at that club. They're living at that club.
What are they doing at the club when he's like shocking Moses Sumney and making him like air fuck?
I'm not sure.
Were we not supposed to know what that was?
I don't know.
There's some things where I'm like, am I in the dark purposefully, or
did I miss
this
something?
Show not doing its job?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It did feel very long, too.
It felt a little long. I could have used less of like the singing at the very end. But I also do love that actress who plays like the unhinged. Like
the nudity at the piano girl?
Yeah, nudity at the piano. She's from, there was a Simon Rex movie that came out last year.
Where he's the porn.
Yeah, and she was the lead female in that, and she was really good in it, and she's also good in this. Like, she's giving me, like, Manson girl energy.
Very.
And I'm down, but I still don't necessarily see what it is that Jocelyn sees in Tedros, and that's the hard part for me.
I agree. He's just so archetypical, like, creepy vibes in all of it, like, from the attire to the words coming out of his mouth,
mm-hmm.
that it's just a heart, but she is established as being like in a grieving process and feeling lost, so you sometimes gravitate towards.
Yeah. And I think like in moments she's obviously like darkly horny, so he is scratching that itch
okay.
for her.
Speaking of the darkly horny part, with the bruises all over her inner thigh.
I think that's a self-harm thing.
Okay.
I think that's cutting. And then that's different from when she just like masturbates with things. Jocelyn is multi-layered.
This girl's deep. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I still give it niche sheesh rising.
Yeah. This episode 2 had a little bit more sheesh going on, but ultimately I think it's a niche and I'm going to hold strong that this, I pray, is all leading up to like Jocelyn's big revenge.
I don't see it being that, but I like that POV a lot. I love a sexual thriller.
Me too.
It's just,
it's been a long good time genre. Since we've had anyone tell someone about their like tight small pussy on TV, and so I've been craving that. I didn't know that that's what I needed, but I really did need some like rated R.
I stuff. Turn into a like I like could not I was mark. Cracking up. I was like, I just could not handle it, but it was almost like the whole thing, I was cracking up during those scenes.
I was kind of clutching my I was like, oh my word, but like in it, that's good. I want to be challenged in that
maybe
way.
Maybe my laughing reaction is my way of pearl clutching.
It's a middle school totally. In like sex ed with your friends where you're like laughing about the urethra.
Fully.
But yeah, I think my hunch is that Jocelyn is the last one
standing.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be great.
I
hope,
because I don't want her. I also had a thought. I was like, what if she dies and then season two is like not about her anymore? I'd be really sad about that.
Oof.
But I liked her Freak Bitch remix.
Such a good song.
I heard my neighbor listening to it, like, and that's when I knew the idol was, it was time to play the idol, because they had like fired it up around like 7 p.m. on a Sunday
the
night.
Rally call.
And then shortly, maybe 10 minutes later, I was in my Freak Bitch moment.
I went to Freak Bitch moment on a Monday morning.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Kicking off the week, right?
Exactly.
I'm both sad and glad that I didn't come of age in a time where this is what all the girlies were wearing. Because it would be hard for me to be in a place of like string bikini underboob.
We didn't have underboob so much, but it was very low jeans.
It was low jeans.
It was thong out.
It was
era.
Whale tail. And it was low rise Rockin' Republic jeans with a going out top.
Frankie B's, Miss 60s, Diesels, Silvers, Mavis.
Yeah. Ooh, Quicksilver.
But also silver. Do you remember
maybe
silver
I had
jeans?
Silver.
They were a nice price point.
Sevens. Yeah, but I'm look forward to see where this is all.
Yeah,
going.
I'm still watching. Like, I'm not gonna not watch. Also, it's slim pickings out there for television right now.
I know.
We don't have much to work with, so it's kind of happening regardless.
And movies. There was one weekend where I was like, God, film is back, and then film whenever went and traveled to where it has been traveling for like the past 3 years, then there's just been like no good movies since
I watched
April.
The Mysterious Case of Natalia Grace last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like when a documentary like provides all the facts one way and then halfway through they go, psych, actually.
I know that felt really exploitative. Like, I didn't love that they paint the picture that we were being painted in like the Daily Mail, which was originally the thing that like sucked me into this story years ago. I also thought there would be another episode, but I guess episode 6 was the last episode.
I can't believe I stuck with it for 6 episodes, but I did.
Yeah, I powered through.
Oof. That same dark feelings that I felt after finishing that I felt at Jocelyn's house.
Mm-hmm.
Similar. On the Venn diagram of dark doubt.
Natalia's adoptive father gives really intense Tom Sandoval energy.
He's good on camera. Better on camera than Tom Sandoval.
He was until he reached a point where I was like, this person's actively lying and like performing and hamming it up right now. And I just knew, I was like, this man is a dirty liar.
Yeah, it all got to a place of, I felt like melted afterwards. I was just not feeling it at all. You can't spend 3 episodes through one lens and one perspective of a story and then go, actually, that was a lie.
Actually, it's this. And the real story is that these people are monsters and deserve to spend time in prison, but they won't, I guess. And then it's just, that's that.
It was sad. I didn't like it.
I know. They should never have jobs again. Or they should be forced to like not. Who's going to hire them? Who wants those two parents to like work at their company?
I think you do like. And honestly, I'm open to this job. So if anyone knows how to get involved, you do like online review leaving or something.
You do test shopping.
Yeah. Secret shopper.
Yeah, because I was like, these people are liabilities. They're both insane.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. I didn't like where it took me. At first, I was onto it. Like, I was like, great. Like, this seems intriguing. Then it made a sharp left for me, and it lost me in full. But like I said, there's nothing else to watch. So what am I going to do? Just sit?
Yeah, all we have is Max, unfortunately.
Okay, so right now for me, it's Max. That merger was the best thing they've ever done.
Max is really killing it.
Crushing. Max, Peacock, Hulu, then Netflix.
Wow. I'm Max and Peacock. Hulu, I watch in order to watch like past episodes of Jersey Shore, but it hasn't been giving me much more than that. Netflix, I just caught up on pretty much all of Selling Sunset, so I don't know what's left there. I honestly am liking Amazon Prime app because you can rent videos, you can rent movies off of there that I haven't been able to find in like the iTunes library.
I have to go check that out.
Yeah.
Hulu, I'm watching Kardashians. I know you haven't dipped in yet, which I think I'm all for banking and like, but I think those shows are best consumed all in one lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
But I did go, as I mentioned last week, I went to the Kardashians For Your Consideration Emmy event. And the episode they submitted was the one from last year where Khloe was dealing with having just found out that Tristan had a baby with someone else while simultaneously preparing for a baby that they had coming through a surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think it would win had we not have Vanderpump. And the Vanderpump episode that's submitted is the finale when they picked back up the cameras. And that one's obviously going to win.
Smart. Yeah. If that doesn't win, riots in the yeah. streets.
What was so my best takeaway from the panel, it had the two producers of the Kardashians and then Khloe and Kourtney. And then the editor-in-chief of, I think, Deadline was the moderator. And Khloe and Kourtney are definitely on the outs right now. They were not getting along.
Wow.
And you could cut it with a knife. There was tension. And then, so they showed the episode with Khloe having the baby, that whole thing. Then they came out. They did a panel. They then talked a little bit about Kourtney and Travis Till Death Do Us Part, that special, and got into it, whatever. And then the panel ended. And then they were like, okay, now we're going to play a clip of a little excerpt of Till Death Do Us Part. And everybody got up and left.
No. Oh my God. That's amazing.
But my thought was, okay, I think the people here are obviously Kardashian fans. So they probably already saw it.
Yeah, and also, who cares? I haven't watched Till Death Do Us Part yet.
I watched it.
I'm intrigued by it, like, just as far as, like, travel porn.
Definitely. And, definitely like, some porn. Portofino highlights. I think the most interesting takeaway for me from that is we all, you know, if you saw any footage from that wedding, or it was just all of a sudden this small tiny town was infiltrated with paparazzi, and the anxiety that washes over Alabama and Landon and the little kids as they're on these boats seeing all of these cameras just like pointing at their faces, like they all look like they're about to have full panic attacks.
Yeah, that would be really intense.
Yeah, beyond. And that was kind of the thing that I caught on to most, was like those poor kids look terrified.
Yeah, they haven't grown up like knowing this level of attention.
It's wild.
But also, I think growing up knowing that level of attention is really damaging too.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is gonna happen with North?
Like, I hope she becomes a special effects makeup artist. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, like I think like whatever happens, like she'll likely be fine. But I always wonder, especially with her, because I'm like, you have access to anything you could ever want to do, any place you would ever want to go, like nothing is off limits. And when that's the case, like what do you aspire to do then?
I mean, whatever it is, the licensing deal has already been filed.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's a big TBD.
Stay on TikTok, please, though. I love her TikTok.
How does she get it to like link up with this song like that so well?
She's just
in
like
all
a
those
savant.
Little like jump cuts.
She's really
so good.
She's a filmmaker.
Right,
maybe
clearly.
She should be a filmmaker.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch this space for sure.
Yeah, I could see that for her. I think that is like what you would have to aspire to, is like you making something, or like making your making art of some sort, because that's like the only thing that you cannot buy.
I'm still so obsessed with Tall Kanye. It's like my favorite thing.
I'm really trying to understand the latest like football shoulder pads, like socks.
I
element.
Think everyone's going to be wearing those sock shoes in 2 years. I'll wear them now.
You'd wear them now?
Yeah.
Neoprene socks. The
yeah,
row
they
kind of had.
I was just going to say they look like the row sock shoe, which is that's what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
They have a heel one that's like a Lucite heel. The sock pump that they don't make anymore. I've been tracking on the Real
the
for like
Yeezy
3 years.
No, the Row.
The Row.
Oh.
And they're so good for a short girl, because it just, there's like a clear sock vibe with then like the Lucite heel. So it just looks like you're like on your tippy toes a little bit.
Okay.
I want them so badly, but they're nowhere to be found in my size.
Maybe one day.
Calling
this is law
in.
Of attraction.
Officially.
Time.
Esther Hicksing it right now mm-hmm. on this very program.
Okay, so today we're going to be sharing recs with you guys of products that we've bought recently and loved. Some stuff on the list that like is of my list is like on my want list or want to buy, things that I think about often, things that I make like wish lists of, and hopefully you guys will like shop I can like shop vicariously through you guys, because I'll just like give you the goods and the tips that I've seen, and then you can go and purchase and prosper.
We got some really amazing feedback from all of you who filled out the survey, which we're going to be linking in these show notes. And so many of you said you wanted just like regular recs from us. So here it is. We thought it would balance nicely with some of the deep dives that we've done recently.
Definitely.
Do you want to start?
Sure. Something when I was thinking of like what would I recommend, I went immediately to something that we both bought separately, and then I had clocked the second that you walked through my door last week. There are on Amazon for I think like $15 pretty much exact carbon copy Bottega Veneta earring, like the teardrop, oversized teardrop earring dupes. I bought them in silver and gold immediately. I think combined it was $30.
They're so good.
They're really
shockingly
good,
actually. Yeah. They're smaller, obviously, than the original Bottega ones. The Bottega ones are
massive
thing. I don't know if I could do the big.
I could do a big, but I think that many people that are looking for the dupes, like what makes the real ones so good is that they are very unique in their like oversizedness. And I'm waiting for like dupe culture to catch up to
Etsy,
give the girls the big, big earrings.
Etsy.
Are those big enough though? I thought I was getting the impression that they were like kind of the same size as the Amazon ones.
I have to look, but I thought I saw bigger ones and I was like, no, I think I'm need to go small. But yeah, we both same wavelength. Love when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So these Amazon dupes, I concur.
They're great. The quality is fine. It's whatever.
Fine.
But at the end of the day, you'd spend $15 to get a trendy look, and it doesn't really matter if
you
it's
know
like
my
great quality.
Favorite
or not.
Thing about that Amazon purchase is it came with an extra set of earring clasps, and I really needed them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of them. For sure.
A plus. I'm going to go skin for a little bit. Skin, beauty, wellness world category. First and foremost, I've mentioned before, and Laura and I were talking about this off mic, I have this like ongoing, just like crazy eyelid irritation that's been like insanely bad at times. And so when it's just like a little bit an issue, it doesn't really bother me, but I'm constantly looking for something to just help moisturize the area. I don't know what else to say. And I found on Speaking of subreddits, one of my favorite ones, I wonder if you go on this one, 30 plus skincare.
No.
Oh, it's a great community.
Okay, cool. I'm going to look at it.
Just a lot of people with dysmorphia being like, what do I do about my neck? And everyone's like, your neck is fine. It's all good. It's a nice supportive place.
Okay, I like that.
So they mentioned this La Roche-Posay Cicoplast Balm. So I went to Target. I picked it up. Did not do anything for the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But as a moisturizer all over the face, it is amazing. It's thick. It's a cream consistency, but it has like a balm effect once you rub it in. And I've been putting it on every night and been so pleased.
Like a Vaseline kind of balm?
No, it's like it's creamier than a Vaseline.
Okay.
But it just has like this thickness like a balm.
Like it's protective layer
exactly.
over your skin
at night. It surprised me. It's okay. been so good. It retails for $15 and it's just been like a great little accidental discovery.
That's good to know.
But like maybe if you're having some dermatitis issues, try it, but just didn't help mine. And that's okay.
Yeah. I've been circling Turkish towels on Etsy for a while, like ideally for bathroom towels. Like I would love to be in a place of Missoni home, but I can't break the bank quite yet with like a full set, or like at least 2 to 3 sets of like Missoni home bath towels. Just feels like I'm not ready for that kind of splurge. But I found like a type of Turkish towel that gives kind of like a Missoni home vibe, but not at that price level. And then I recently was watching, like I had favorited them on Etsy and just was like, maybe I'll pull the trigger on these like eventually, I don't know. But then I was watching Chloe Fineman's Architectural Digest tour and I saw that she had these like Turkish towels in her bathroom. And I was like, oh my God, she has the same kind of like bathroom tile that I do. And it looked really good. And I was like, okay, I've got to like track these down. And she got them from this brand Bathing Culture, and I didn't know that they made like home goods, but I went ahead and bought, I think they were on sale or they had like a discount that you could apply. They were more expensive than the Etsy ones, but I think they're different colors too, but you might even be able to find the Etsy ones for much, much cheaper.
Do you have a picture?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna try something too, guys, is we're gonna have a Pinterest board that shows everything that we mentioned in this episode, where we hear you from the feedback. It's hard to listen and Google search at the same time. So we're working on remedying that.
Oh, yeah.
See, oh, yeah. All those are ones. A Missoni energy. I love those.
I know. And it's like you can get like a hand towel for $12. I love these stripe ones, actually.
Those are great.
Yeah.
I love those.
And they go with almost any bathroom.
And what's great, too, is they don't show any makeup or anything like that. I have that brand Koyuchi.
Oh, yeah.
I have those towels. And I got them because I haven't tried this yet, but apparently once you're done with them, you can send them back and they'll recycle them for you.
That's
because
nice.
I never know what to do with like old gross towels who've passed their prime.
I know. I usually just like donate them to Goodwill, or I keep them in the car and use them as like beach towels.
Sure. But
they just become Tony's
towels.
So
I thought I would try this, but I haven't exercised that option yet.
I also, I'm burnt from the last time that I did splurge on towels because I decided to go hard like during COVID. And I was like, I'm going to get like black towels from Restoration Hardware and just like ball out. And it was a decision that's haunted me for years because they've never stopped
pilling,
shedding.
Fuzzies.
Yeah. And like, there's, I guess maybe if you're having like white towels or more neutral colors, you don't notice the fuzzies. But when you have black towels that are doing it, you notice that all the time. And it's just like the bane of my existence. I feel like they only recently, after 2 years, stopped doing that.
I would call them and get a refund, replace.
2 years later?
Yeah. Be like, I thought that this would let up. It hasn't.
Help me. Trade me.
Trade me.
But now I'm all about Turkish towels because they're really absorbent. I mean, they're still in their break-in phase, but they're nowhere near as badly fuzzy as these Resto ones. And you can either go a little bit more expensive on like a bathing culture tip, or you can just go Etsy tip. And
I don't even know bathing culture. I've got to check that out.
You would know it. I think they mostly do like beauty and like shower products, mm-hmm. but I'm sure you've seen the branding.
My favorite, while we're on the topic, one of my favorite websites for bath things is Quiet Town. Do you know this brand?
Mm-mm.
I'll show you. I got my shower curtain from them. They have really cool shower curtains, and I feel like that's an underexplored market. So these sun shower ones, they're super affordable, and they're like the colored plastic ones. Mm. And I had this amber colored one.
That's pretty.
And then I replaced it with another color, and it didn't work out. So we're back to square one. But I love this brand. It just has really cool.
I'm liking their textiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the zone where I'm wanting to do like apartment updates. But then I'm also like, do you really need to spend a lot of money on like apartment updates? And probably the answer is no. But it's like, okay, then I can get new towels or like new pillows and like update in that
way. Definitely. Definitely. I find that, especially if you've been in a place for a long time, it's worth sort of like doing a little upgrade here and there. And I find that like if you do enough upgrades, it will eventually push you out into your next place. That's my theory.
I know, that's what I'm thinking now. Or it'll push like your landlords to ask you to leave, but they would pay you because they'd be like, we have to pay you because all the upgrades would take longer than 30 days. And then the LA County, we then have to subsidize your new move. So
there you go.
One of those would
something
be
like
great.
That will happen. Okay, so still on the face tip. I love face tools. I've tried a lot of them. This one, and I also love icing my face, which I generally will just take an ice cube and roll it around my face. But this is one step higher than that. This is this brand called Audacité that came out with this, what they call a cryotech facial tool. And you put it in a glass of ice water for like 15 seconds, 30 seconds, like in that world. And then the whole thing gets cold and it just kind of is like a guasa experience, but super cold. And then the other side of it is just this like ball tip that
for the eyes
or just kind of like you can, I like to do my jaw because I have a lot of jaw tension and it just gets really cold. You have to obviously put like an oil or a balm on your face beforehand, but I love this thing.
I like the look of it.
It's so great. Yeah, I just haven't really seen anything like it before. And I like that it gets cold really easily.
I like the dual-sided and I like a little eyeball.
Love an eyeball. It's great.
I want that.
Well, as we mentioned, we have that survey thing that we're giving away some prizes. And I told Audacité that I was going to talk about this in this episode. And they were like, great, we can give one to one of your listeners. So
oh, I like that.
If you fill the survey out,
You're entered to win.
So
and there's good stuff.
There's good stuff. So I love this thing. But I also am a huge fan of just rolling an ice cube on your face. This just feels a little bit more official.
What do you do? Do you do it in the morning or at night?
Sort of whenever I think about it.
So what do you do with like your oily face after using that? Is that then a moment that you'd put more product on and then go to bed, or do you do a wash off?
I usually wash off oil, but that's just because I'm sensitive. Mm-hmm. So if I do any type of oil for a facial tool, I'll wash my face afterwards and I'll use. I really like the Youth to the People kale spinach. Is it kale spinach?
Yeah, spinach, apple, kale, yeah. Face wash.
Whatever that is, that gets rid of like any excess oils or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's gentle too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm like, oh, do you wash your, like if you're going to go to bed and do it before bed, do you wash your face, then do the oil thing, then wash your face again, then put the night stuff on?
I think that it sort of just depends. If you don't get clogged from oil, which a lot of people don't, I do. Like I notice if I've been using oils on my face, so I wash off. Sometimes I don't, but I tend to wash it off and then just do like a basic.
Yeah, I don't get clogged from oils. Like I usually do a face oil before bed, but then it's like you have to wash off your tool.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. So sometimes that's my barrier to entry for like DIY face tools. But that one looks like...
It's really great. It's definitely different than any of the other ones I've tried. I sometimes when I'm in the bath, I'll do like a full sort of like face tool journey. And I had them all on the bathtub the other day and like left the bathroom, whatever, came back in. I was like, those all look like sex toys.
It's like adult rubber duckies.
Exactly. But they're for the face.
I'm always curious, like, if all the Gua Sha does what people on Instagram says it's going to do. Like, is it really the lifting, transformation, tightening, toning thing that some of these people are making out to be?
Or are they just also doing fillers and Botox and whatever else?
Like, I follow a girl on Instagram who her whole Instagram personality is like, I used to look like this, but now I look like this. And it's like a totally different face and body. And she's attributing it to
that little like acupressure pointer thing.
To like just Gua Sha every day and doing like 20 minute like at home Pilates workouts.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's great, but I need to know more.
I don't know, but I think that, I guess the way I work it in my brain is just like, I think it's good for circulation and like removing any type of puffy.
And it feels good.
And it feels good. And especially with the jaw tension, it's just nice to have like a hard object pressing into that part of my face.
Yeah. Okay. We'll stay on the beauty tip. I recently was in the market for some contour and I've been trying to like, I'm trying to figure out like the best approach to nose contour because I do think like there's an art to it.
Yeah, I don't know her.
And I love the like Westman Atelier contour sticks, but they're very wide. And so they're not great for like doing, like drawing on the nose and doing the finer work that I need to be doing. But then I stumbled across like Victoria Beckham showing off her new contour sticks. And I was like, oh, this looks like right up my alley. And she did a whole tutorial
on TikTok
on how to use them. And I was sold. And I was like, I've got to get myself to Violet Grey and like get this contour stick. Like my life will be changed once I have it. And I finally made it there yesterday, got the contour stick, have not used it yet, but I'm very excited to give it a whirl.
Please report back. I was very intrigued when I saw that product as well.
Yeah. What I like is like you can do the drawing on the nose and the shading. You can go kind of like as an eyeliner and do like eye makeup stuff. You can do like above Cupid's bow and do some lip shaping. So like the finer contour areas, like that's what I want to use it for. And then I also got the Victoria Beckham waterline brightening pencil and
for senpaku eyes.
Yeah. And then I was realizing, oh, this is the secret to senpaku eyes that Elizabeth was wanting, is that you just need a brightening eyeline pencil.
Manifesting.
Yeah. So then I used that yesterday and I was like big fan of that.
Wow. Okay.
And that's good, I think, also for just making your eyes look bigger.
Really gonna need you to report back on the VB Beauty.
And I have to say the packaging is spectacular. The presentation is spectacular. It feels very luxe, but also like feels like everyone knows exactly what they're doing. So far an A+.
I trust her taste level.
I trust her taste level too. And like it just is like a really nice product. And I also trust the Violet Grey taste level.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay, so I think everything we've said thus far has been niche. I have a sheesh, okay, unfortunately, in the beauty realm. So I went and I got, for the first time, a lash tint and lift where they'll... I definitely should not have been doing this because I've really, really sensitive eyes, has been talked about.
Do you think previously that's what sparked?
Maybe. Could have been. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm putting that
just hit
together.
Me.
Yeah.
When did you get it done?
Like a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago now.
When did the eye
probably
stuff?
Around the same time.
That is definitely what did it.
Yeah. So
chemicals.
Yeah, definitely not smart. But so I got the lash lift and tint. I think maybe if you have like a more robust eyelash situation to begin with, it actually might be good, because I just don't have that many eyelashes to begin with. I used to do like eyelash extensions. Eek. I've played around in that area. Also, like from all the irritation, like I lost all my eyelashes for a while. So it's just always been a journey. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this tint. I'm going to get this lift. I'm going to see what life is all about with that. Right after, it was like a little much. Like they were too lifted. And I was just like, whoa, this is the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Then like day three, I was like, ooh, this looks great. I'm into this. And then cut to like a week later, my eyelashes got all like twisted around and they were all over the place. And then they grew back that way. They're just kind of like pointing in all different directions. And they give you a little spoolie thing to brush your lashes out every day, which I was doing, but it wasn't doing anything. And it was a $90 treatment that I will not be doing again.
Too much.
D.
Yeah. I think I've gotten a lash tint and lift maybe once. I think I actually went to Sheena's person that did hers. And it was also, it just didn't move the needle for me.
Not great.
It's like, this is too much money and too much time.
I did realize like, oh, using a lash curler makes a world of difference. So I'm back in the lash curler world.
You gotta just use a lash curler.
You gotta heat it up with your hair dryer.
Ooh, see, I don't do that because I heat styling the lashes seems scary to me a little bit. But I have done that in the past, and yeah, it does work.
It does do something. So I just needed to share in case anyone was on a similar curiosity.
Have you gotten a brow lamination?
Yes. And I don't think it took. I did it at this place in Michigan called Todd's Room, which is like this been there forever beauty place that's great. And I was so excited to get it done there because the prices are way better than they are here in LA, obviously. And I just don't think it took. Like, it definitely did something to my brows, but they didn't stay laminated. Like, I wasn't in a place of Selena Gomez at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing that I'm like, unless it's like a 100% slam dunk.
Yeah, I have considered doing an at-home one, doing it on myself.
Why? Like, why not? How wrong can that really go?
TBD. I'll report back. I would definitely try it and see.
I mean, Anastasia makes like a brow gel product, mm-hmm, that basically achieves that same look, that you just gel them to hell and back with like a spoolie and it will give you that laminated effect.
Right. I have that stuff. And also, speaking of which, I, from our Sephora episode, we got a lot of questions for a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried that Refi. Is that how we say it?
Yeah, I think it is Refi. I always want to say Refi, but it's Refi, I'm pretty sure.
So you had suggested the Brow Sculpt in clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the formula. I think it's good. It's actually one of the better brow gels that I've tried. So I would give it a B+. I would probably explore another product to buy after I finish this one, just to see what else is out there. But I would repurchase this one.
I returned all my Refi purchases.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because I liked the gel product, but I found the spoolie to be, you would get way too much product would come out. And then it pills on the top of the brows. Ooh. And like skin. So then it would be like, oh, there's like residue
on
here.
You were like Tom Sandoval Reunion Part 3.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was haunted by that. Yeah, I feel like he maybe used the Refi and that's what happened.
Another...
So I'm back to being an Anastasia girl.
Okay, that's good to know. I have that pot, that like lamination pot thing.
Yeah.
But I think that I saw a lot of the reviews on Sephora said that it was, a lot of them grew mold. And that freaked me out.
In the pot?
Yeah.
That has not been my experience, though. There was one pot that I got. Maybe it was mold that was in there.
Got really cloudy.
Is that mold?
I don't know. but that,
I used that moldy pot past the cloudy era, but I think my thought was that it got cloudy because my makeup bag was near the heater. So I think it like might have heated up and then unmelted. It was mold.
Yeah.
I put mold on my face.
Yeah, I think I was doing
the Well, I'm proud to report that the pot that I bought since then that I've had for probably a year now has not stayed gotten clear. Moldy. Yeah, oh. Stayed totally clear.
Also, for the drugstore girlies, I'm going to get Bethany Frankel for a second. Elf makes a dupe.
Oh, okay.
That's great. One other thing that I purchased at the Sephora sale that it took me a second to figure out how to work with it, but the Say Beauty foundation, the Glowy Super Skin Foundation, one pump, rub it in your hands, heat it up, and then put it on the face.
Oh.
Normally, I think instinctively, I do like a two pump thing and won't work it in my hands first, but once I did that, it looked really pretty on.
It's all about the warm up.
Yeah.
Good to know. I didn't know about the store called Credo Beauty, and I just discovered it like the weekend of my birthday. It wandered in there and then was like, wait, this is amazing, and I never want to go set foot in a Sephora ever again.
On Third Street?
Yeah.
So nice.
But I got Dirty Coconut perfume. I was thinking of you from Heretic.
Even though it is it not Heretic? It confuses me. But
I can't really remember.
I think we're pronouncing it Heretic is the correct.
Yeah. And so I'm mixing that with like kind of like a sea salty scent to get like a summer ocean personal scent for the summer.
I like that. I've been using the Dirty Hinoki from them, and then I used the Nuco, their first scent, the one in the brown bottle. I don't know what it's called. Functional fragrance.
Oh, nice.
And mixed.
I say my only feedback is I think the Heretic scents don't fade.
Last.
They don't last, and yep. I don't like that.
Me neither. It's so upsetting.
It's
but they
really
smell
upsetting.
So, like, truly everything that they make, I like how it smells, and that's never happened to me before.
But I also am like, I feel like I've used the Dirty Coconut 3 times and it's already like an eighth gone. And I was like, for a scent that's not lasting, like I'm going to run through this so quickly.
I will say, if you like the brand, sign up for their mailing list because they often do like a random weekend where everything's 30% off.
Okay.
Just something to think about.
I remember back in the day, I don't know if Anthropology still sells this brand, and I can't even really remember what the brand was called, but they had a coconut perfume that I would buy every summer because it smelled exactly the same as this like Dirty Coconut.
Is it that Vacation brand?
I don't think it's Vacation. I want to say it was called something like Carrots or something like that. But it gave the same like beachy, just like straight up like beachy coconut smell without being too overly sweet or like going into Bath and Body Works territory.
All the Sephora girlies love that Sol de, do you know that brand I'm talking
Sol
about?
Sol de Janeiro.
Yeah.
That gets, I have their like hand cream that has kind of like a retinol in it, but I often forget to use that.
Oh, I have one more thing to put on the skin.
Oh, yeah.
An SPF that I discovered because this brand reached out to me to do a promo video for them. Agreed to do it, then tried the product, as one does. And I actually am obsessed with it. And I have not used another sunscreen other than Elta MD or the Say Tint. And I've been using this. The brand's called Kinfield. They were on Shark Tank and they make bug spray and SPF products, which I think is just a really smart category to get involved
that's
with.
Really good.
And they had this face sunscreen called Sun Glow that has this like light pinkish hue to it that has the nicest sheen on the skin. I love it. They did not pay me to talk about it on my podcast, only to make a video about it. So open to that too, though, guys. But I just really loved the product a lot, and the people need to know.
That's a really good tip, and I trust your sheen instincts because you called it about the Say
it
sheen
gives,
product.
It gives that same effect, that same like dewy glow, but it's like an SPF product, so it's just good to have on hand.
Okay, I like that. Sometimes, though, I'm finding that the say plus my foundation starts to get oily like halfway through the day. And I'm needing like the hack to lessen that.
What's your process in application?
I mix like a pump of that with a pump of foundation.
Have you tried doing the say first and then foundation after?
No, but maybe I'll try that
because
next.
It works really nice as a primer.
Okay.
And it might just kind of like seep in better.
Great. I'm going to piggyback on your skincare recommendations and say that I'm back reunited, thanks to Credo Beauty, with my favorite summer moisturizer, the Goop Beauty Glow Lotion. I've been looking for it at Sephora for a long time. And then I thought like, oh, did they just discontinue this entirely? But Sephora doesn't carry the full Goop brand, in at least in the ones that I go to. And then Credo had it and it's back in my life and I'm very happy about it.
I became radicalized by the Goop skincare products.
She truly can do no wrong. The Goop Glow Lotion is lightweight, it smells delicious, citrusy, and it's packed with vitamin C, so you're getting the vitamin C brightening elements and effects without having to do like the vitamin C serum and then a lotion. Like, it just kind of does it, and I do find that it like brightens up my complexion. It's not oily.
I'm trying to find the one product that there's two, and I'm have always been kind of like gentle on the exfoliation tip just because I don't want to over exfoliate because I always am trying to consider the skin barrier. But is there
exfoliation jelly?
Yeah.
I remember you saying you really liked that.
Like that jelly, when I ran out of it, I feel like I rarely go to empty. When I went to my facialist who's been doing my skin for years, she was like, your skin is the best it's ever been. And she like had to do the least amount of extractions that she ever had to do. So the other one that I love is the Microderm Instant Glow Exfoliator. And I use that one like twice a week. And it's quite good. And they have it in two sizes, so you don't have to pay a ton. They have a smaller size for $42, which I like to see.
I also just ran out of the Goop Jeans All-in-One Super Nutrient Face Oil, used it to the very, very bottom, and I miss it. But I'm also thinking about maybe going big into a Vintner's Daughter.
Ooh, too active for me.
It did break me out the first time, but then I tried a sample of it for a few days, and I was like in heaven.
It's great, but I it doesn't work for me. So just something to consider.
Yeah.
But that's a great one. Cloud Jelly. Was that what it's called?
Cloudberry Exfoliating Jelly Cleanser.
That's it. $35. It's sold out.
Wow.
Because it's good.
Because it's so good. Also, I'm going to need to try these shampoos and conditioner, the shampoo and conditioner that they just put out.
Oh, okay.
Also, shout out to Goop Kitchen. That has been the only thing that I care about post-mating.
It's so good.
It's so delicious.
I think that they're going to franchise.
They absolutely should.
They also, so Goop here in LA has Goop Kitchen, which it's sort of like cleansy food, but it's delicious. They also have a Goop Rotisserie that's a chicken that I haven't had. And then they also have a pizza place too. And I think that they're going to be coming to a town near you within the next 5 years.
I want to say that Goop Kitchen is all just takeaway.
Yeah, no, it's a delivery model.
Is even the rotisserie and the Italian?
I think so. Wow. I think it's all just delivery based. So smart.
Rude. Goop Kitchen has 10 Yelp reviews. It has like a 3.5 on Yelp. Haters are going to hate. I'm telling you, this is so good.
It's so good.
The sea salt brownie. I think it's all dairy free, gluten free.
It's veggie forward.
No red meat. Yeah, it's like it actually is very healthy and delicious.
Which is hard just if you're ordering food and you're trying to just eat cleaner for a little while. It's just nice to have that option. And I appreciate the consideration.
Mm-hmm.
They had these seed crackers that you can order as a side that I have been like R&Ding, trying to make my own ever since because I fell in love with them. They had a recipe for something similar on the Goop website. And it was like, for seasoning, it was like, take 1 teaspoon of all-purpose seasoning and add it. I'm like, LOL, no. I'm like, nutritional yeast, salt, Zatar. Like, I was like really seasoning it up way better.
Yeah. If you have a chance to fuck with Goop Kitchen, can't recommend it enough. Spring roll salad is my new obsession.
I really like the miso salmon.
I like the miso salmon.
Chinese chicken salad.
Chinese chicken salad is delicious.
Sweet potato soup with the Brussels sprouts.
That is good. Also, the green soup is really good. The teriyaki chicken bowl is insane. I would stay away from the Caesar salad. It didn't thrill me. And Agreed. Also, it's like, you can get a Caesar anywhere. And if you're really, like, there's no such thing as a healthy Caesar salad. It's just not going to hit the same. So I would veer away from the Caesar.
The best vegan Caesar in the city is from Crossroads. I had like a major month with that where I was getting that postmated a lot.
We love to hear it.
Salad haul.
Salad haul. Coming soon to a podcast near you. Okay, I'm going to go veer from the Goop train. And I'm going to veer into some clothing / shoe recommendations. So I follow this Instagram account called Mule Boys with a Z. And they're always posting like the newest, hippest mules. And
that's cool.
I'm a big Birkenstock head.
Burkhead?
Burkhead. Larry Burkhead. That's me. And I love to be in the know of the newest mule. And they posted these Crocs recently that I was like, wait, these are so good. And then I was like frantically hunting them down. Then realized, oh, they haven't even like released yet. So then I put a calendar reminder on like the day that these Crocs dropped. And then I was like, I'm not gonna like get the new Crocs that drop. But then I follow another mule centric account that then they posted it. And I was like, I have to get
the
Crocs.
Can I see them?
Yeah. They're called the Dylan Clog. They look like leather, but they're Crocs. They come in.
How much are they? I can't see the price.
They're $54.99.
Oh, those
are
fat.
So a good price point. I got the white ones.
I was just going to say my one Croc regret is I got white, like my first pair of Crocs. And I obviously wore them for like gardening and whatever. They are dirty and they will never
They'll never be clean again.
No, never. Damn. But I feel like you can do a white shoe. I'm just sort of.
I wouldn't wear them gardening. Like right. These are more of like a with jeans type of vibe. But if also I think what's good about Crocs is if you do scrub them, if you clean them fairly often, they do clean off pretty well. The white, I don't know about. That's a different ball
Those
game.
Those are very cool. I might have to Olsen you and get a brown or a black.
I know the espresso brown is pretty good too.
Those
but
are
I
great.
Recently saw like a pair of like espresso brown Birkenstock like Bostons that I was kind of wanting to get. And so I was like, oh, I could use a white. I don't know. They're good.
Love the price point.
Yeah.
She's speaking to me.
So that's my latest Croc purchase.
That's great. Now we're going to move into the section of the show where we talk about something that we're manifesting getting. And I recently went to check out, there is this new at-home experiential sauna that is launching very soon called Ancient Ritual. This is what it looks like.
Ooh.
It's called The Ark, and it truly looks like a Lulu in Georgia, like, Ark cupboard. And it is an at-home infrared sauna that is linked to an app that does, like, breath work, meditation, sound healing, and the sounds from the app are linked with like the lighting experience within, like when you're in the booth. So like the music blinks with the light. I mean, it was just a total cool thing. It was very like San Francisco tech startup meets wellness, which is a full thing, but I loved it. And they run for, they're expensive.
How much?
They range from $9,995 to $11,995. My only, and it's, you can't, most of them traditionally, you can see that, like they're glass, so you can see the outside. This is sort of like an insular experience. There's no, you're like literally,
room.
You're literally Indian in the cupboard.
You
this
are
thing.
A cupboard dweller.
But it was so cool, and just I felt so shifted afterwards. I did a half hour session. It was really special. I loved it. I was like, I would definitely get into this. My only thing is when I do infrared sweating, I love doing it with other people. It's just like a fun way to just like deep dive on a convo, mm-hmm. get some wellness in, sweat out whatever isn't serving you, leave it in the booth type thing. And if I have one in my, or when I have one in my house, yeah. I want one that can fit like three people.
Yeah, at least like comfortably two people. This one looks like you'd be a little bit on top of each other.
Definitely, but it was really cool. And I just like to see the options expanding in the space.
I do like the idea though of just like one's own personal sauna, a sauna of one's own.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if you have your own cupboard sauna, maybe in a different room, that's where you have like the group sauna, but you have right. like your special solo sauna just for
the
you.
The solution is you get two.
Yeah. It's like you have the communal one and then you have
solo
your personal
journey one. Yeah.
I do like that it does look like a chic armoire though.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, and then there's like AI that's involved with it. It's a whole thing. And
it's very like Suitcase in Pulp Fiction, the light that's emanating yeah, from it.
Totally.
Kind of is scary to like lock yourself in a closet.
I wasn't scared.
Okay.
I was all in. I loved it.
Like if the power goes out or something. Are they energy efficient or more energy efficient than like regular saunas?
Great question. Doesn't say much about that. I'll get back to you, but see, look at the...
Yeah,
the
like
lighting experience
like
was very cool. That's the thing you can sit on.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Not a lot of space to like stretch out.
No, but the chair reclines.
Okay.
It's a whole thing.
It is was it a wooden chair? Or does mm-hmm. it have fabric on it?
There's fabric on it. It's like a special fabric that absorbs the sweat or something. It was like a special material that felt different than like being on a towel or just being on the wood.
Okay.
She's chic.
I'm intrigued. Yeah, I would like that room specifically.
Definitely. The mm-hmm. whole, I'll take the whole thing. Yeah, so that was like an A plus on my list of...
Future Elizabeth lives in a house with mm-hmm. her own gorgeous armoire sauna.
Yeah. First we get the square footage, then we get the arc.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to say something that I'm manifesting that's slightly more affordable than a sauna. And this is came to me late night. I was like scrolling my For You TikTok page and I saw plastic surgery maven herself, Ariel Lori, talking about a mini procedure that she just had called an eye pinch. Or a skin pinch, under eye skin pinch. And I was like, I need this tomorrow and would get it tomorrow if I knew where to go. And what it is like, I guess you go under just regular numbing and you're awake. You probably have like laughing gas. And a doctor just takes out like a tiny pinch of your under eye skin. So it's like getting a bleph, but it's not as invasive. And like she coupled it with like a tiny pinch of skin taken out and then mini CO2 lasering under the eye. And it really took away those like little hamburger eye bags.
She looks 12 now.
She looks
in
really
the best
young.
Way.
And I mean, look, this is a person that's also had fully a bleph and a brow lift and facial fat transfer and a lot of things. But as far as like just a mini thing that would make a big difference, it is hitting that sweet
I'm intrigued.
Spot. I'm very deeply. Intrigued. It seems to run about 3K, which is an approachable price point for a procedure that actually would make a difference.
I mean, can spend that easy on injectables.
Yeah. And this actually is like a more permanent thing. It might save you from needing to get injectables and then just wasting your money on those.
Something to think about.
Color me intrigued. If anyone knows anyone that performs this, please slide into my DMs
or
and tell
me. Or if you've gotten one,
yeah,
feedback, welcome.
Mm-hmm. The lasering and the skin pinch combo seems incredibly appealing.
I had Profhilo done, and it's basically like an injectable hyaluronic acid, because hate to be a spoiler alert, but topically applied hyaluronic acid has no lasting effect at all, so they say. So it's sort of a grift as a widely used ingredient for moisturizing and plumping. I'm using air quotes because a lot of the research done on that as an ingredient says, you know, it may look that way for at the time of application, but it's not doing anything
long
for,
term.
Exactly. So you can have Profhilo, which was for a long time, it's been used in Europe to my understanding, but the FDA just approved it more recently over here in the States. And it hurts so badly.
It's not painful.
It's very painful, but it definitely, and you're supposed to get two. I've only done one. You're supposed to do it, I think, within a month of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this nurse here, Nurse Nusha, who does amazing job with injectables. And I tried it out and it definitely helped my skin quality. Like I was really dealing with some stuff and it just sort of like evened out my skin tone and kept things moisturized. And I noticed my pores looked less open, if that's a term.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to get the second one.
I got Profhilo years ago on the black market. I was recommended to go to this like Russian woman's pool house in the valley where she was doing Profhilo injections for what they retail for in Europe, which is around like $400 per session, which is pretty approachable when it comes to injectables. But that was the one time that I really realized I was like rolling the dice
in
such a huge way with like trusting a stranger in their house, like injecting me with a mystery substance. And I said, I can't, I'll go back and do the second one, but I won't probably
after this.
Go again. Yeah. And I haven't been back since, but now I'm like, do I need to go back? Because I don't know. It's one of those things that your skin improves, but then you're like, what's this from exactly? But it also is not so expensive that it rules it out entirely as like a thing to get.
Exactly. And it's also, I think, great if the idea of Botox, like neurotoxins, is frightening to you or it doesn't feel like a filler will. So it really helps, I think, with skin condition
and hydration.
And that's really what I needed because I was dry.
That's what all the European ladies have been getting. Like that's one of the most popular treatments in Europe is like Profhilo, and then I feel like a Morpheus type like laser things. It's like they're much less into neurotoxins and filler injectables and much more into like the Profhilo of it all.
I keep seeing anti-Morpheus content.
What are they saying? That it can destroy your skin barrier?
That, and that it really isn't all it's cracked up to be in terms of results.
I keep seeing like it moves the needle maybe 3-5%. Like it will have like a small tightening effect and maybe give you some like better skin for a while, but you do have to get it. Like you need 2 or 3 sessions in monthly succession, then you need to go back a year later and do maybe 1 or 2 sessions again. So you're just on the merry-go-round with this thing. And now that I'm starting to like age or notice like visible signs of aging and realize that I can't be chill about those signs of aging and that I'm looking actively for like anti-aging interventions, I'm also very aware of like what carousels there are to get on and like what that is going to cost long term. And it also is like, I mean, it's really fucked up. Like women have it hard because you're expected to like age gracefully, but that costs so much money. And it's like, would I rather have like a pretty face or a house someday? And it's fucked up that you have to make that choice. Like, I think the government should honestly give women a subsidy for like Botox and fillers.
I agree.
We've earned it.
Yeah.
This is what you want from us. So that being said, I still am going to be spending money on this stuff, even though I know it's like probably the wrong thing to do from a perspective of like
financial planning.
Yeah. But author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad would say, don't say, I can't afford that. Say, how can I afford that? And that's where I'm at with that. So that being said, I'm all about what are the big ticket items that take you off the carousel for the most part and make a very noticeable difference. And that seems to be more of like surgical procedure.
Like a tiny incision under your eye type stuff.
Yeah, like a skin pinch.
I am craving a CO2 laser all over my face and neck. I had a friend get it and the results were uncanny.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Like to be reborn.
Baby child.
I'd love to be a baby face. I'm really jealous of that tech guy that's like getting his son's blood injected into him.
Say more.
There's like this tech, almost a billionaire, but he sold his company for 800 mil and now he's like dedicated his life to like being 18 years old, like physically being having the body and like every body part of a teenager. And he's achieving it. But I mean, his diet is like so strict. I mean, he basically just eats like mushed vegetables. He doesn't have like much of a life, yeah. But it's kind of like he's donating his body to science in a lot of ways because he has like a round the clock team of doctors that are monitoring his like bodily functions. And it really is this like larger experiment when it comes to longevity and anti-aging. And he is, I guess, like approaching, he's aging in reverse.
He's eating baby food and he's Benjamin Buttoning, so there's something to be said.
Yeah, and part of that involves like injecting some of his son's blood into him, which I think that is a great reason to have kids, and they basically owe you their lives anyways. So if you can harvest their blood and make yourself look younger, then that's like a bonus. Suddenly kids are back on the table in a real way for me.
Hilarious.
But yeah, so I'm just like never, I'm never not thinking about like what anti-aging moments could be next.
Yeah, but we need the word anti-aging when Allure magazine banned it from their pages. I think they were like onto something. We need a different, because we're aging no matter what. It's just more of like a looking hot and longevity.
But even it's all euphemisms for the same
right.
thing. It's looking young at all costs.
Isn't that sad though?
It's really sad. It's fucked up. You don't realize it until you get into your 30s and then you're like, wow, like
yeah.
People really hate older women, and like the world is not meant for, women are not meant to like age or appear older than 35. Maybe it's pushed to like 40, but like it's like taboo almost to just even look your age.
It is. And I think like one of the reasons we talked about the Daily Mail last week, and one of the reasons why I had to stop checking in on that was the misogyny in the headlines. It was like so, just the tone, it's so anti-women and so anti-women looking anything over 30 that it just was too toxic.
Yeah, I stopped fucking with the Daily Mail too, probably for that reason, although it just was like generally making me feel like shit.
Yeah, if you just like pay attention to how they phrase things, it's just, it's tough.
Well, and they also love rooting out someone that has disappeared from the public eye and showing the ugliest possible photo of them and being like, you'll never guess who this person who used to be at the top of their game, fabulous star,
so
guess
hot.
Who they are now. And it's like literally a person that hasn't, that's just been under the radar and does not want to be in the business
anymore.
Look
at them in the parking lot. Look at them. They're fat and they're ugly and they're a troll now. Can you believe it? They used to be so hot.
It's so fucked up. When they did that to Bridget Fonda, I was like, you're so wrong for this. And then now it's become like every time you open it, it's someone new that they've rooted out.
Donna DeRico.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're obsessed.
Obsessed with her.
Wait, but she's looking... Wait, is Donna DeRico the one that the
from
woman
Baywatch
that's homeless?
Who still does? No, that's a different one.
Yeah, they're obsessed with this one woman that I'm like, babe, she's like,
who dated the other guy from Baywatch, yeah. Jeremy Jackson.
They're really
help me
they're,
for knowing that.
They keep following around this woman that's like clearly addicted to drugs. She's experiencing homelessness. Like she is not well, and I doubt that they're like paying her to like take photos of her. And
I hope they are.
I mean, I don't know, but whatever's happening, it's so dark side. I'm like,
exactly.
You run out of content and now you're becoming, like, this is like
racing
evil.
The streets of Los Angeles.
And then
Angeles.
There's Donna DeRico who somehow looks like 30.
It's a whole fucked up thing. I will say what jolted me back into reality is one of my mom's friends, hi Debbie, who listens to the show, was texting me after our Sephora haul episode. And she's like, I'm just trying to get back to look like I'm 40 again. And then I was like, oh, needed to hear that.
No, I mean, we're always, that's part of also being a woman is like spending a lot of your life wishing that you looked younger than you did at any pretty
just
much
embracing it. I know,
life.
Like the body dysmorphia that I had in my 20s, and I look back at pictures and I'm just like, whoa, I had no idea how I looked. I still have that.
Yeah.
But it's just so sad.
I don't think it's getting better.
No, it's not.
Even if it gets better in magazines, who the fuck reads magazines anymore? Everyone's on Instagram. So it's like, okay, it just switched to a new medium where this is happening almost to a worse degree because of the filters.
That's right. I think on the filter tip, though, I think what is going to happen is the next generation, what's after Gen Z?
Gen A.
Gen A. So I think Gen A is going to look at millennials and Gen Zers and be like, it's so cringe how you guys are just like chronically online. And the theory is that they're going to be basically having like, they're going to be like avatars of themselves, like Ready Player One vibes.
Oh.
And I've been feeling this for a while. I have regret that I didn't avatar myself 10 years ago.
Like they're all going to be just like Lil Michaela.
Exactly. Like your own little like DIY Michaela.
I want to make my own
right?
Little Lars now.
And then I'd be like, sure, I'll do your
I don't want to call it Little Lars, so that's creepy.
Little Cotty.
Yeah, I want to call I like Little Cotty. Yeah.
So you just like have an arm's length with your online persona and then it just doesn't like fuck with your head.
And then you're just like you're like a meme of yourself.
Yep.
And you don't have to like really represent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Watch this space.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. When we're both like botched and we can't show our faces anymore, we're going to have.
How do you guys feel about visual podcasts that are cartoons?
That would actually be kind of fun.
So cool.
So yeah, that's like kind of my roundup.
Yeah. I had some more, but I think that they're more better categorized as a full episode. Like
cool.
They could pop into a category of like a different type of haul. So
nice.
We'll see. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for going on this product haul journey with us today.
Let us know
what
are you into right now? What procedures are hot right now?
And as I mentioned earlier in the show notes, we have a listener survey that it would mean the world to us if you took, I think, like 5 minutes to fill out. And as a thank you, you'll be entered to win all these fun goodies of things that we've mentioned on this show. As I mentioned, Audacity will be giving away the Cryotech facial tool. We have some products from one of my favorite brands, Juna. We have the Elizabeth Cott collab with Sleep Crown,
that's a holy grail item of 2023.
It's major.
It's changed everything. for me.
That makes me so happy. Yeah. And you heard it here first. There's going to be a restock later this summer.
Ooh.
Hello.
All right. Well, we'll start announcing winners next week.
Yeah, we're gonna have it go another week.
Okay.
And yeah,
so there's still time to get one of these amazing products. So just click on the link in the description of this podcast episode and help us out, and we'll help you out.
Bye, bye guys. Stay niche. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.